Father, worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be.
If that's your prayer this morning, if that is your prayer, just go ahead and tell it to him. Just go ahead and tell it to him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, precious Father. We love you. We honor you. Thank you for the privilege you've given to us to co-inherit with you forever. Thank you for the honor and the trust of serving you and serving your purpose on the face of the earth. Father, this morning we have come to be trained, to be equipped for effective service. Lord, we ask for greater grace, greater understanding, and greater empowerment. Lord, at the end of our life on earth, none of us will miss our rewards. We give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. This morning, thank you so much, choir. God bless you. This morning, I want to take out some time to teach on very core value systems in the kingdom. We are in the last days, and there are certain things that we must really, really pay attention to in order to be effective and productive in kingdom business. You know, when man was created, there were channels God instituted for his transformation and ultimate transfiguration. You know, we were created in the image and in the likeness of God. But God expected us to continue to excel in glory, because the glory of God is an excelling glory. Every time you encounter God, you see different dimensions of glory. It's inexhaustible. And man needed to continue to transform and transfigure to attain those realms of glory. And so the Bible said, in the cool of the day, it said God came, the voice of God came walking in the garden. Because there is a principle in the spirit. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory. So man was designed to continually transfigure to higher realms of glory. But there were channels that God instituted. One of the channels for transfiguration is the channel of beholding. As you behold, you are changed. And that's why the voice of God came walking in the garden. Another channel for transfiguration is the channel of receiving and engaging the Word of God. Every time you receive the Word of God transforms and transfigures you. You know, because we are falling, we see beauty only from an external perspective. But the real beauty of man is not external. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessel. that the excellency might be of God and not of man. So the real treasure is not this body. The treasure is in this body. But look at how beautiful we are externally. If the external one is not the main beauty, then what we carry is beyond human comprehension. But because we are falling, we channel all our attention to the external. That is good, but there's more to who we are. And that is why transfiguration is a must. And so when you see him, you are transfigured. When you receive his word, you are transformed and transfigured. But those are not the only channel. The third channel for transfiguration is the channel of work. Work is not a product of the fall. God gave man work before man fell. So we are not walking because we are falling. Walking is a channel for transfiguration. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 and 16, it said the Lord God put the man in the garden to dress it and to keep it. That's where work began from. And that's before the fall. The word used there is the word ergon. It means to become. That means if you don't walk, there are dimensions of God that are in you that you will never become. That's why when you come to church, it is those who walk that grow faster in the things of the Spirit. Because that is where you acquire experiential knowledge. And those who just come to sit, there's a measure of transformation they receive. Because when you receive the word, you are transformed. But you cannot compare their growth, transformation and transfiguration to those who actively work in the house of God. Because work was given to help us become. This is why it's important to engage work. Beyond the fact that it gives glory to God, beyond the fact that it procures reward, it is primarily for your benefit. If you don't work, you will hardly become. But you see, the work of God is done in a very organized and structured manner. You don't just do it the way you want. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:15, he said, until I come that you know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the ground and pillar of truth. So there is a way to behave in the house of God. So you need to be trained to understand how to comport yourself, how to think, and how to function in the house of God. So that you become, so that God is glorified, and so that you are rewarded. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28, he said, having received a kingdom that cannot be moved, he said, let us receive grace to serve God acceptably, for our God is a consuming fire. So there is a way to serve God. There is an acceptable way to serve God. That's why Mama was speaking about zeal a moment ago. If you don't serve with zeal, he will reject you. He said, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. But many don't know it. So they think it's something they can do the way they want. It doesn't work that way. So when God looks at you, there are expectations. And it's an honor to be recruited and engrafted into the service of God. If there is an advertisement today for an employment in an oil company, people scramble for it. Because they know some benefits accrued to the offices they would apply for. But when you tell people to serve in the house of God, or the agenda, or the things of God, they do it with a laissez-faire attitude. That means they don't know God. And they don't understand who God is and what God can do. So as far as they are concerned in their minds, the oil company is more beneficial than God and His kingdom. What a level of ignorance. But this morning, somebody will be taught the whole scope of service in the house of God. My focus is acceptable service. But before I get to the level where I can talk about acceptable service, I need to build some foundations. And there are four foundations, four layers of foundation that I will need to establish this morning. I hope I'm able to exhaust it so that I can talk about acceptable worship. But hear this, work is a cardinal aspect of our development, transformation, and transfiguration. If you don't walk in this kingdom, you will never become like God. If you don't walk in this kingdom, you will never fulfill your purpose in God. And if you don't walk in this kingdom, you will never attain your full potential as far as you are a created being on the earth. So it is not something you can excuse. It is something you should desire, engage, and give yourself to holy. Because in God's wisdom and intelligence, He instituted it for your own good. And because this is a training, I'll present it more like a lecture, so that we can make progress in a very concerted manner. Before we go into the depth of the teaching, I want to show you five factors that make for a worker in the house of God. This is what should define your consciousness if you want to walk in the house of God. There are five factors that are a must for anyone who wants to walk in the house of God. And like I said, this is foundation. These factors influence the quality of work that you can bring to the table as you function in the house of God. Number one is the God factor. Anybody walking in the house of God who does not have a consciousness of the God factor cannot be productive. The reason many people walk into church and function carelessly is because they are not conscious of God. They are not aware that God is their first supervisor. And they are not aware that the service they are rendering is unto God and not unto man. Maybe they think they are working for a church. This is why their service in the house of God does not come with the required diligence and urgency. If you know that it's unto the Lord and it's for God and God is your supervisor, it would affect the way you walk. So the God factor is very important. Mama quoted the scripture from Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 to 2. So let me begin from that scripture. He said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every distraction, every impediment, every factor that slows us down. Let us lay it aside and run the race with patience. He said, these things ensnare us, so we must lay it aside and run the race with patience. And run the race with patience. The KJV version said, looking up to God, the author and the finisher of our faith. So there is a God factor in what we are doing. But for you to maximize the God factor, you have to put away sin and you have to put away weights. You will not make the sacrifice of putting away weight if you don't know that this thing is a God business. So the first factor that influences your work in the house of God is the God factor. The second factor is the man factor. The man factor helps you to understand how important we are to God. Listen, in creation, man is the last born. If you go to heaven, there are spirits called elders. If you go to heaven, there are spirits called thrones. If you go to heaven, there are spirits called dominion. If you go to heaven, there are spirits called principalities. If you go to heaven, there are spirits called powers. If you go to heaven, there are spirits called angels or messengers. All of these beings have been created before God thought of creating man. So man is the last born of creation. Man became necessary because God has a new agenda. Because before now, God's dealings and programs are purely spirit and spiritual. But now God wanted to carry out an agenda in the physical and the visible realm. That is why of all God's creation, man is the only one with a material body. Also, although there are many beings in the spirit, man is the only one that has the legal right to function here. So any agenda God wants to carry out here, although they are angels, they are powers, they are principalities, they are dominion, but of necessity, God must use man. So you need to understand that
you are relevant in God's agenda. So when God calls you, He is calling you because you are the only creation that can function in His agenda here. It shows you the importance God places on you. There are more angels than there are men. There are trillions of angels. So this thing is not about number. It's about specie. You are the one God needs to function here. If it was about number, He wouldn't need us. And then it's not about strength. The Bible said the angels excel in strength. See, all of the work we are doing in church, one angel can do it in 1 second. From sanitary work to choir work to security, one angel. An angel walked through the camp of the enemy in one night and killed 185,000 soldiers. That is the level of strength angels have. So if God was looking for who can do it, He will deploy 3 angels to the earth. All of the agenda will be done. Hope you know that at the end of time, only 4 angels will be deployed to the earth. He said they will stand at the 4 corners of the earth. When they shout, they will harvest all of God's people. So the whole work on earth, 4 angels can do it. The reason God is coping with us is because we were the ones designated for the assignment. So when you are coming to do the work, be conscious that God loves you enough to give you this job, even though you are not good enough. You are the least to have done this work. See all these sounds we are playing here. There's keyboard, there's drum, there's guitar. And if you have 5 people playing equipment, if God wants to hear music, 1 angel can stand. He will be singing and playing equipment at the same time. And He won't carry a keyboard. The music instrument is built into Him. So when the angel shakes, you can hear the sound of guitar and keyboard and drum at the same time, while he's yet singing. And the pitch where he sings from. So you are not singing because of your voice. You are singing because God loves you and God chose you. If it's about who can sing and who can play equipment, there are beings in heaven. There are some beings that if they sing, they will transport you. So you don't just hear their song and enjoy it. When they start singing, they will move you from one location to another by singing. Those are the powers they have. Why did God then choose us? Because we are the ones He chose to do the work. It's His sovereignty. So when you are doing it, consider it to be an honor that you were choosing. But because we don't know this, you tell somebody to come and sing, she's doing guy. You think it's song God wants to hear. If it's about voice, if God deploys 1 angel and he sings, it's an honor to serve. And that honor was given to you because God chose. So there's a man factor. Imagine the honor that God puts on men. When Jesus resurrected, Jesus went to heaven. All of a sudden, Peter said, I want to go and fish. Jesus had to come back from heaven. In John 21 verse 15, and went to the river and met. This is the glorified Christ. He had risen from the grave. He has been enthroned as king forever in heaven. But he gave an assignment to Peter and the 12 disciples. And Peter abandoned it, that I'm going to fish. Jesus left his throne, came back to earth, and went to the river and met Peter. Sat with him, ate the fish that he caught. And he now asked him a question. Do you love me more than these things? Peter said, Lord, you know I do. He asked him 3 times. Do you know what this means? Angels are begging to do this work. When Gabriel came to Zechariah, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. It's an honor to stand before God. This is what gives us rank in heaven. And they give you this assignment and you are taking it for granted. Do you think it's every angel that serves in the presence? I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence. That is my rank. I'm a servant in heaven. But God gives this same assignment to men. And they said they are going to fish. And Jesus asked, Do you know what you have been called to do? Do you know the honor? Lovest thou me more than this? That was when Peter's eyes opened. And there are some of us here,
They say wash. They say clean. They say sing. You take it for granted. It's the day you go to heaven and you see the heavenly choir. That's when you understand the honor of singing in the house of God. There's a man factor in every vision. So God chose us. And it's a huge honor. Please sit down. Oh my God. Number three. If you know these things, it will change the way you serve God. Believe me, every time I stand here to talk to God's people, I'm humbled beyond measure. I ask myself, what do I know to be able to speak on behalf of a spirit that is immortal? A spirit that has no corruption in him. How can a mortal man like me speak on behalf of a spirit that has no corruption? A spirit that is omniscient. He knows all things from the beginning to the end. What do I know to speak on his behalf? A spirit that is omnipotent, who can do whatever he wants, to whom nothing is impossible. How can I stand to represent that spirit? It humbles you when you understand that although if it is based on merit, you don't qualify. But you were chosen, notwithstanding. You were chosen. Whatever it is God considered before choosing you, you may not know it. That's why you will walk with a mentality, a mindset. Number three, factor that influences a worker is time factor. Time factor. We are not going to do this thing here forever and ever. Every one of us, there's an allocation of time. For some of us, we will do it for 100 years. For some of us, we'll do it for 120 years. For some of us, we'll do it for 140 years. But no matter how long you do it, be mindful that every second that ticks, the opportunity to serve is being removed. And the day will come, you will not be able to serve anymore. The Bible said, in the grave, there is no praising God. There is no serving God. There's no worshiping God. So whatever you are doing now, there's an allocation. And see the danger of it. Because you are a man, you will not have the energy you have today always. So now that you have the privilege of energy, this is the time to deploy it. Because this thing is regulated by time. When Jesus became a man, he had been God from all eternity. But the moment Jesus became a man, he knew that service is time bound. And in John chapter 9 verse 4, he said, I must do the work of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can walk. You will not do what you are doing today every day. Please be mindful of it. In Ephesians 5:14 and 15, 5 verse 15 and 16, the Bible said, awake, awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give thee light. Why? Because you need to redeem the time. The days are evil. Now that you have the time, the best thing to use your time for is to serve God. Because I assure you, a day will come when you will not have that time. Do you know what those who have gone to heaven are doing? See what that scripture shows us. Hebrews 12 verse 1. It said you are encompassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Some of them are fulfilled. Some are regretting. Because there are some, they are saved. They are there. But when they look at you, they wish they have the opportunity to serve God again. Because when they received salvation, they thought that was all. But there are others there like Paul, who said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. There remained for me a crown of life. So the crown is not for everybody. It's for those who utilize time to serve God effectively. So in that cloud of witnesses, there are some wearing crowns. There are others without crown. And all of them are now watching you. They will say, oh, I wish they know. Do you know what happened to the rich fool? When he went to Abraham's bosom, he had one prayer. Please allow me to go and tell my brothers that are on earth now the opportunity they have. Because me, I don't have time anymore. But please, I beg you, allow me to go back and tell my brothers not to live the way I lived. That is the problem many will encounter in eternity. They will regret every second that they refuse to serve God. They will regret every second
that they took service for God for granted because they don't understand what eternity looks like. Awake, awake, thou that sleepest. This is the only opportunity you have, and a day will come when you too will transit to glory. Then you will discover that the biggest opportunity on earth is the opportunity to serve God. And as I continue teaching, you are going to see the implication of serving God. Time factor. Number four is financial factor. It takes money to serve God. And so every time money is committed to you, especially those who are workers, you must understand that every kobo must be accounted for. Kingdom resources is not one to handle carelessly. Every dime represents a soul. Every dime represents God's glory. And so if you mess with it, it's not naira you are dealing with. You are dealing with souls, and you are dealing with glory in the currency that you are handling. If you don't understand it and you mismanage kingdom funds, there are consequences. The Bible said in Zechariah 1:17, cry out loud. Tell them, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. So every kingdom resources is directly proportional to a degree of spread. So kingdom advancement is calculated in terms of currency. And so the money you are carrying is not something you handle carelessly. God considers it as a spread. So the reason it moves from Galadimawa to Kubwa is because there's an amount of money spent. The reason it moves from Abuja to the United Kingdom is because there's an amount of money spent. So you are looking at 10 million. God is looking at Africa to Europe. If you touch that money, you have affected the impact of the kingdom. So the way you handle money must impact on the kingdom. Otherwise, there are consequences. In Deuteronomy 8:18, the Bible said, you shall remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. What for? To establish his kingdom, his covenant, even this day. So you need to be conscious that money in church is not the same as money in bank. The value of money in church is different. The money on the altar is somebody's faith. Somebody is trusting God for the fruit of the womb and express her faith by putting the money on the altar. You carry it, you say, this is 5,000 naira. You are joking. That is a baby you are carrying. If you mismanage that money, you are in trouble. You carry 1,000. You say, this is 1,000. That's somebody's worship. Somebody came and dropped that money, weeping and worshiping God. You mismanage that money, you have mismanaged God's worship. I'm telling you why some, instead of being blessed as workers, they are cursed. You don't know these things. You will take kingdom service for granted. Even if they give you kingdom money, don't spend it and pay back. Because what you are paying back is not what you spent. Somebody drops money and say, every curse in my father's house, Lord, this is my expression of faith. I put this 10,000 to break the curse. You carry 10,000. You spent it. You replace 10,000. You are doing a deep. You don't know what you are doing. The first 10,000 you spent is a curse of a lineage. The one you replace is 10,000. The one you spent is a curse. And so the grace and the anointing that should terminate the curse is what you have put on yourself. Service in the house of God is sacred. It's not a joke. But what is the beauty? These are the things God has entrusted us with. These are the things God has committed to us. So we have become partakers and participators of divine administration. This is why a worker in the house of God is not an ordinary person. Because you think you are just treasurer. They give you 100,000. That means you are now in charge of the blessings of a family. That means you are now in charge of the promotion of a people. That means you are now in charge of the fruitfulness of barren women. So what you are keeping custody of now is not just 100,000. So for you who carries that level of responsibility, Which devil will be allowed to touch you? I carry the child of a woman. I carry the blessing of a woman. I carry the future of a family. How can I then be in danger? This is why a worker is a blessed person. The jealousy of God is invested to preserve you. See, we don't know these things. That's why we take kingdom service for granted. If I'm the one to come and open the door of the church, do you think I can have accident? The whole worship that day, the whole offering that day, the whole blessing that day, the whole impartation of that day depend first on me. What demon can stop me from moving? So, but that service of opening the door alone has exonerated me from attacks. That's the sacredness of walking in the house of God. Please sit down for a moment. When God calls you to serve Him, it's an honor. Mete imako una. Bazanji soboroba. Mete imako una. Bazanji kunyapa. Mete imako una. Mete imako una. When you give to God, you have not lost anything. He said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. But there is a consciousness. There are factors that influences what we do. These are the things that motivate us. The God factor, the man factor, the time factor, the factor of finances and resources. They are sacred things in the kingdom. That's the first foundation I'll be laying before I talk about acceptable worship. See, you know, serving God is a very dogged thing. Paul compares it to a soldier. He said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with civilian affairs. He said, but as a good soldier of Christ, he strives to receive the compliments of his master. It's a difficult thing. So you need to understand the sacredness and the blessings that comes with it so that you are motivated. And as you begin to do it correctly, then a grace comes. And you now discover that although it's hard, but you do it with ease and joy. Because it's no longer by your strength, but by the grace of God. Factors. Second foundation. Five factors. Okay, I didn't mention the fifth one. It's environmental factor. When you are serving God, you need to master how to harness your environment. Because your environment is also an advantage. The earth is the Lord's and His fullness thereof. So anybody who is serving God has access to the fullness of the earth. Psalm 24 verse 1. And that's why it said, they that are willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land. See, there are things you can draw from the elements because you are serving God. And there are things you can regulate in the elements because you are serving God. Everybody who is a worker in the house of God has the right to dominate his environment. Because if you don't dominate the realm, there are things that cannot be done. So it brings you into a type of authority that is not available to every other Christian. Sometimes you are going for crusade, it wants to rain. Because of the crusade, you can say, let the heavens remain short. That's not a declaration you just make because you feel like. This one now is for the jealousy of God because you have become a co-worker with the Holy Spirit. So environment can become a benefit, an advantage to you because you are serving God. That's why Abuja can't vomit you. That's why Abuja cannot not deliver its good to you. Listen, You must succeed in this land because the kingdom needs your resources to move forward.
Environmental factor. I don't have time for testimonies. I will enter preaching. I want to teach. There's a long journey. I need to even step down a little because I want to explain. I'm beginning to proclaim, and it's not. Praise God. So these five factors are the forces that influences the quality of your service. You must know how to interact and harness the potentials they bear. Praise God. The second thing about service is values. They are pivotal values for a visionary worker. Not every worker. A visionary worker. There are pivotal values. And if your work will receive the approval of God, these values, I'll mention just five of them because I'll touch some things as I proceed, must become the guiding force of your operation. So I call them pivotal values of a visionary worker. Hope you know this is a global vision. So it's not a vision you can just act the way you want. I know most of you here are owners of businesses, you are leaders in different sectors, so you understand the urgency and the efficacy of the things I'm talking about. I know you know them. And these things are things you apply not just in church, but even in every other sphere of life. But because we need everybody to be on the same pace, we must emphasize them. So they are pivotal values. Number one is uncontestable and uncompromising regard for instituted protocol and authority. If you want to be a visionary worker, you must have uncontestable and uncompromising regard for instituted protocol and authorities. Uncontestable because you don't question authority. You don't question laid down protocols. Uncompromising because you don't fail in responding to the demands and the dictates of protocols and authority. If you don't have this value, you cannot be a visionary leader. You cannot be a visionary worker. You will become a weight in the assignment. Anybody who will be a blessing to the vision must not contest, question, or challenge authorities and protocols. The moment you find yourself doing that, you are no longer a blessing in the workforce. Hebrews 13 verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to them. He said, for they watch over your soul as they that must give account, that when they do it with joy. So what we are talking about in church service or kingdom service transcends time. God is saying, even in eternity, the people you are placed under, he will ask them to give report about you. And he said, when they do it, let them do it with joy. He said it is beneficial to you. That is why while you are serving on earth, you must not develop the habit of antagonizing, challenging, or contesting against every authority that is over you. Listen, when you come here, you may be whoever or whatever. If they say this is your leader, submit. If they say this is how it is done, submit. It doesn't matter if you are a senator. This is the house of God. I'm telling you how kingdom moves forward. It doesn't matter if you came from America. Submit. We are not talking skin color. We are not talking societal status. We are talking governance in the kingdom of God. It is God that ordains leaders. And so if this person is in charge, submit and relax. In due time, God will see your heart and your service and reward you and exhort you. Because God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. He sees everything we do. Even if that leader is not fair, God will judge that person. Your job is not to become the reason why the work is slowed down. Listen, if I will submit for the work to go forward, I'm willing to pay the price. Because the assignment is superior to me. I came to serve the vision.
I didn't come for the vision to serve me. That's the difference between a worker and a member. A member came for the vision to serve her, but a worker came to serve the vision. They are two different things. Number two, dogged commitment to personal discipline. If you want to be a visionary worker, you must be doggedly committed to personal discipline. See, I came to discover that a good heart is not enough. There are many people who have a good heart. There are many people who love the vision, but they are too careless and undisciplined to commit anything to them. So a very serious issue can be affected because of their indiscipline. You can have a powerful service that will bless thousands of people, but somebody who is in the studio forgot to connect a wire. As simple as it is, connect a wire. And a service that 20,000 people should be blessed, they will not be blessed because he forgot. You can come for a service that pastor has prayed for 3 days fasting, choir rehearsed for a whole week, people coming from different states because publicity has been made. Somebody can come and tell you she forgot to buy fuel, and the time she's running in the morning to go and buy, there's fuel scarcity and she didn't know. But there's no discipline to buy the fuel at the right time, and so the 3 days fasting can be wasted. The 1 week rehearsal can be wasted. The whole publicity, people took leave from their work, and some people will only take that leave once in a year and travel down, but the whole service can be messed up because somebody forgot to buy fuel. And the agenda of God will sabotage. And when you ask them, they say, I'm sorry. They think I'm sorry is enough. If you want to be a visionary worker, and by implication a leader, you must master the art of discipline. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, I beat my body. I bring it under subjection so that I will not run and be a castaway. There are many people, you ask them, they say, sorry, I slept off. You don't sleep because you are tired. You sleep because you have finished your work. Who told you you have the permission to sleep when the work is undone? Did you not read about God? God worked for 6 days. It's on the seventh day when creation was completed that God rested. You have not done anything. You say, I want to rest. What have you done that justifies the rest? Laziness. That's why visions die. Most of the visions that die, they don't die because of the devil. They die because of lazy workers. And the same people who told you they are tired in church, they know they won't dare say they are tired in the bank. How dare you? You rest during break. You don't rest because you are tired. You rest because there's an allocated time for break. How then is it that when you are serving God, you think you can take a break anytime you want? Indiscipline. Because there's no consciousness that what we are doing sustains eternal value. I beat my body. I bring it under subjection. Jesus said, oh, how am I stretched until I'm done? That means he's exhausted, drained, but he keeps pushing until the work is done. This is one of the things that define leaders. I was listening to Elon Musk. In his formative years in business, the guy said he was working for 22 hours in 24 hours. Somebody is receiving prophecy. You can never receive only prophecy and become the richest man in the world. Elon Musk said he discovered that the average CEO works for 40 hours in a week. He started working for 80 hours out of 168 hours. So that what the average CEO completes in June, in December, he will finish it in June. This is in the world. They have this kind of superior mentality. If an average CEO works for 40 hours and finishes his year in December, if I work for 80 hours, I will accomplish what he accomplished in December in June. So that why the average CEO is now doing a cycle of 1 year, I've done 2 years. And then you think they just appear? It takes a lot of discipline. If you are not disciplined, your intelligence will be wasted. If you are not disciplined, your grace will be wasted. And this is why we have many gifted people wasting in the house of God. Because they don't know the price to pay to squeeze out the oil. The oil is squeezed. It doesn't flow. You squeeze it out. This is work in the house of God. Target commitment to personal discipline. Number three is conscious sustenance of a good reputation. You must build consciously a reputation that supports the work. Many people, their character flaws have become a reproach to the work that they do. So although they are anointed, but because they are the one, nobody will go there. So you must build a reputation. Number one, a reputation that you are good at what you do. You are not just there out of sentiment. You are there by the grace of God because you are the best on that job. So that they seek you not because they love you. They seek you because you can do the job. Number two, a reputation of integrity. Your nay is nay. Your yes is yes. You don't vacillate. When you say this is how it is, that is how it is. Number three, a reputation that you deliver on the job. There are different dimensions of reputation. Some people are so unreliable that even a shirt you give them to sew, they will never meet up. Once you think it's a mistake, twice, thrice, you now discover it's their nature. And they carry that garbage into kingdom service. I'm telling you why most of us are backward. Not because God is not gracious. And this is one of the major reasons why we are poor in Africa, apart from corruption. Lack of discipline. Lack of integrity. No reputation. Go to the Western world. Most of you travel. The system works. If you miss the train in 1 minute, you have missed it. And you may stand there until the next train comes. And God help you that the temperature is not -5 degrees. You will stand there, your ears everywhere will be paining you because of 1 minute. And nobody, there's no I beg. It's gone. You will see it like this, it has gone. Some people, every year they miss more than 20 flights. They can't catch up anything. That is why they fail in church work. Not because the work is hard. Not because the work is so difficult. But because there is an intrinsic deficiency. And that deficiency is that they don't have reputation. So their words mean nothing to them. I will do it. Come back. I'm sorry, it's what you hear. No reputation. They talk to you as if you can count on them. Do it at your own risk. No reputation. Don't worry, I will edit the video. Don't worry, I'll watch the toilet. Don't worry, I'll be there by 4 to open the door. 4:30, people are still outside. You come and you are wondering, no reputation. Even while they are talking, they know they won't do it. And so God looks at them and says, these ones cannot be rewarded. Number four, good and proper emotional management. Pivotal values for visionary leadership. 1 Timothy 3:15, until I come. He said you should know how to behave yourself in the house of God. See, there's a how we behave. We don't function how we feel. We function how we should. So if you have quarrel at home, trust God to help your heart. Don't bring it into the work. My dear, can you please close that door? Leave me alone. Madam, I'm not part of the fight at home. If there's an issue, trust God to settle it. But when you come here, put your emotions in check. Somebody is coming to church. Can I have an envelope? What do you mean? Are you not seeing it? And that person will never come for the fellowship again. If this is what they have become by the message, I don't need it. And they think it's a simple thing. But you don't know why the work is not growing. You are fasting and praying, but there's an usher there sending people back. Because there's no proper emotional management. You are wondering why a department is not working. There's one person there who is always talking her mind. Me, I will talk my mind. Me, I will talk my mind. And this your mind that you are talking is the most sarcastic type of mind. No regard for elders. No regard for authority. When you talk, you say you are talking your mind. And they attract reproach to themselves. Because you claim you are the head of protocol. You have seen a woman of 70 years. You say you are talking your mind. And you talk your mind and everybody leaves you with the department. Do it alone. Don't talk your mind. Talk the word. That's why we are here. Emotional management. See, you need to jack the walk from the realm of your emotion to your spirit. You know what Paul said? Please sit down for a moment. In Romans chapter 1 verse 9, Paul said, I thank my God, whom I serve with my spirit. So jack the walk from your emotion to your spirit, so that we are not risked by your fluctuating emotion. And some of us should not talk until we are able to know how to talk and know who to talk to. I'm telling you, it's everywhere, out of zeal, misbehaving. The other day I sat here after service, a man in his 70s, after the service, just wanted to greet me. Protocol, they pushed. I said, don't you have a father? Oh God, do you have sense? Say, they are trying to man. Shut up. I have to stand up to go and apologize. He's doing the work. He's doing the work. No intelligence. No emotional intelligence. In the world, they call it sound and healthy interpersonal skill. There's a way to talk. There's a way to relate. Even body language matters. Even body language. Your disposition should show honor. It should show kindness. It should show patience and simplicity because of the work. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 3, he said, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. The reason some ministries are not prospering with the prayer and the word is because the ministry has been blamed. They say these are arrogant people. They don't know how to talk. So if you like, be raising the dead, you'll be there alone. So everybody who is a visionary worker must sustain these value systems. I tell my people, position does not mean you are bigger than anybody. Position just defines responsibility. So don't come here with a superior mindset and try to kill people's spirit, so that when you are prophesying, they can't receive. Because one so-called leader feels he's a demigod. I began by telling you that there must be uncompromising regard for authority and protocol. So this is not a ticket for dishonoring structure. But I'm telling you, even those of us in leadership must be careful to know how to relate with people, so that we help them become, not destroy their spirit. Elohim Madonna. Elohim Adonai. Ah, hey, hey. Elohim Adonai. Ah, Elohim Adonai. Elohim. God has an agenda. And it's depending on every one of us here to move it forward. This is why we must understand these things and commit ourselves. Second foundation. Let's look at the third. My teaching this morning is on acceptable service. But I've not gone there. I'm laying foundation. The third foundation is the price every church worker must pay. There are prices we pay. When you find people serving God, it's not cheap. They are paying very heavy prices, but they are doing it because they understand something that the average Christian does not. What are the prices that church workers pay? Number one is the price of your reputation. If you serve God well, people must call you foolish. If you have not gone to a point where they call you names, just know that you are still in the mediocrity state. If you have not gotten to a level where they call you mad, know that this your service, heaven, have not felt it. Because if it is so, men must call you names and men must hate you for your excessive passion. In Luke 21:17, he said, "Ye shall be hated of all men, not because you sinned, not because you did something wrong. Remember, I told you already that you should build a good reputation. But they will hate you because of him. Why are you doing as if you are the only one who knows God? Why are you doing as if you are the only one who loves God? Now only you, they go to church. If you have not gotten to that level, know that your service is still questionable. You are not yet sold out. So the price that those who serve God pay is the price of reputation. Matthew 5:11. 1 Peter 4:14. You will see these scriptures are replete. He said, "Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you." No, let's finish that first. "Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute." No, that's Matthew 5:11. "When men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." I'm not saying go and sin and say they are persecuting me. No. That's not the persecution we are talking about. If you sin and you are persecuted, suffer that chastisement. It will help your repentance. We are talking about persecution for his name's sake. So a man who is truly a church worker will be persecuted. It's a price that we pay, and we pay it graciously. 1 Peter 4:14. I want to give you this particular scriptures. Write it down so that when it starts happening, don't cry. Thank God. That means my service is beginning to strike a chord. It says, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you." If you are persecuted, accused, reviled, attacked for his name's sake, he said, "Be happy. The spirit of glory." Know that you have entered the realms of glory. The spirit of glory rests upon you. Not everybody have that honor. When the apostles were flogged for the name of Jesus, they came back to their own company and celebrated. Thank God they have now insulted me for my giving. They have insulted me for my work in church. Thank God. They look at you and say, "You? Come on. How can a CEO of a bank, you are doing ushering? Respect yourself now." David danced before God as a king until he became naked. Micah insulted him. He said, "Your father did not make me king. I didn't become a CEO because I'm smart. God made me. And so when I come to God, I'll remain God's baby." So let them say what they want. I'm serving my father. There's no shame about it. Number two, the second price you pay is the price of time. Anybody who is not willing to pay the price of time cannot serve God. It takes time to serve God. It takes time. If it is this God, it takes time. Luke 2:37. The Bible spoke of a widow. He said she was in the temple for 84 years. That's 84 years. And departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. She lost her husband at 21. And from then she was in the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. You know what? It's not a joke. Meanwhile, you look at her, you think she wasted her life. They were the ones that gave Mary a womb. Although Mary was a virgin, but it took those intercessors to set the coordinates of the Spirit for Jesus to come in that generation. And that's why the day Jesus was to be dedicated, both her and the prophet, the Bible said they entered the temple by the Spirit. That child you prayed has come. So although Mary presented virginity, they were the spiritual womb that bore Jesus. Those were the days when women don't talk in church, for not one who served for that long. She will break the protocol. And she showed up and prophesied in a generation where women were taught to keep quiet. You don't tell such a person to keep quiet. She's not just a woman. She's a ranking prince in the spirit. Her service has given her a throne among the immortals. It takes time. Psalm 1 verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, that's his joy, that's his service, is in the law of the Lord. On this law he meditates what? Day and night. That's what service is. In our place we have a philosophy, and I learned it from Pastor David Obueli. He said the difference between night and day is light. So if you have to walk at night, on the light. Get fluorescent bulb, on it. Night can become day if light is available. That's it. People who serve God, that's their mindset. It takes time. A lot of time. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. He said, thou shalt meditate upon it day and night to see that you do what is written therein. So the things you do is day and night. Because when you are serving God, it's not the same as serving a bank. If I'm serving in a bank, if I close, I've closed. Don't call me, I won't pick. But if it is the house of God, the business is personal and is eternal. So you can make the sacrifice if need be. I'm not saying leaders should overflow people, but if need be, I can still wake up and do something if it will advance God's kingdom. Number three, the price you pay is the price of energy. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. Now, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. About our activity. Ene du dabu eno. Ojo du dabu eno. Ohimini e. Akwata kikiti e. Ene du dabu eno. Ojo du dabu eno. He said, now remember thy creator in the days of thy youth, why the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no more pleasure in them. A time will come when the years will draw near, you won't have strength anymore. So he said, now that you have strength, this is the time to remember service. This is the time. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, the Bible said to serve the Lord with all your might, all your mind, everything about you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. You use your energy too to serve God. It's a price we pay. It's not only the university, the government, or the bank that will take all my strength. See the way the work system think. Work hour is between 8 and 5 p.m. because they know that is when you are most valuable. You do it for 35 years. When they know you don't have strength, they say retire. Because they are interested in sapping your energy by giving you stipends, they call salary. And this salary, most times, you can't do anything with it. Because if it's wealth, you can't get it from conventional jobs. You cannot be wealthy without having an enterprise. That's why only entrepreneurs are wealthy. And then, unless you have an inheritance. So what these people are doing is to give you enough money to eat and have energy and come and spend it on them. And they went as far as calling us civil servants. That means we are civilized servants. Wear a tie, wear a suit, come and spend your energy here. We will give you money enough to eat food and keep coming. And we do it with joy. But when it comes to the house of God, everybody is grudging. Serve God with your energy. Be fervent. That's what Mama was saying. He said, be fervent. See, spend your energy generously to God. Because God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. The more you spend, the more your youth is renewed. He will not only bless you with resources, He will replenish your strength. He will replenish. He will keep you in health. Because God don't pay salary, He blesses. Serve God with your strength. Number four, serve God with your finances. That's the price you pay. Anybody who is a true servant of God spends money serving God. If your resources have not entered, your service is still not very genuine. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. That's how I judge a man's heart. I don't check where your heart is by tears. Some people have biochemical reaction. The moment something sounds sorrowful, they start weeping. It doesn't mean their heart is there. I will not use tears to trace your heart. Especially those of you who are women. The moment they say, you are holy. That's not how I check where your heart is. If I want to find your heart, I will look for your wallet. The direction your money is going, that's where I know your heart is. And some people, their whole heart is in their jewelry wardrobe. There's nothing wrong in looking good. But let your resources advance kingdom. See, train yourself. You won't start overnight, but train yourself. I remember when God started dealing with me, 10 naira was difficult to give God. 10 naira. As small as 10 naira is. Give it once. If I give this week, I won't give next week. God moved me to 20 naira. God moved me to 50 naira. God moved me to 100 naira. He knew that if He tells me to give what I'm giving now, we will fight. Maybe I will surrender the calling. So He started from 10 naira. Because it's a process. You can't claim you are my servant and you don't give. Your resources prove your heart. And so God knew. For you to say you are an apostle serving God globally, your resources must prove the depth of your love for me. He moved me to 1,000, to 10,000, to 100,000, to 1 million. I'm not saying what you accumulate, what you give once. To 2 million, to 5 million, to 10 million, to 20 million, to 40 million. And you keep going. And as the bigger you become, you sign it without thinking. Because the capacity is being enlarged. Capacity, capacity, capacity. Train yourself. As a worker, every opportunity to give, embrace it. And the more you do it, the more God enlarges you. You know the way the Bible puts it? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8. It says, he that giveth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that giveth bountifully shall reap bountifully. It says, you should give not grudgingly or of necessity. It says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And see what it said in verse 8. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That means all grace is not for every Christian. All grace is for those who give bountifully and they do it cheerfully. To make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency, always, in all things, may abound in every good work. That's a realm where some people are living. All sufficiency, always, abounding in every good works. That's a worker. You give until it becomes a lifestyle. Paul spoke about a whole church that mastered this grace. It's called the Church of Macedonia. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1 to 5. Paul said they gave themselves first, and then they gave beyond what they thought they would give. And he said even in deep poverty, they kept giving. That's a worker. Our generation is bastardized. Tell somebody to pick paper. He says 5,000. Pick paper. He says 5,000. Tie this knot. He says, I will use size 10 spanner. That's 25,000. I'm not saying there are no professionals in church, and I'm not saying they shouldn't give stipends to those who work in the house of God. But I'm saying if your focus is to take from the house of God and not to give, you are a hireling. And our generation is so bad that even preachers and music ministers charge money before they come to worship. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:18, he said, when I preach the gospel, I preach it free of charge. That's why we don't have true workers anymore in the kingdom. The price you pay is the price of money. The fifth price you pay is the price of relationships. Those of you who have served to a level, you know that sometimes even your own husbands, you have to battle with them in prayer for them to release you. Not fighting with hands. In prayer. You battle on your knees for your husband to release you. Which one is this church all the time? I know how my mother labored. She is president of St. Anthony of Padua. She is secretary general of St. Peter and Paul. She is did. We were Catholics. She is in Catholic Charismatic Renewal. So every other day of the week, she will go to church, do a meeting, or pray. And if she comes back home in the night, 2 a.m., she is singing and praying. My dad became so tired. Are you a prayer? Did you marry to pray? It became an issue in the house. For sometimes, for months, she will be praying for my father's heart to open. Sometimes, he will wake up and exercise his authority and say, you are out of this particular fellowship. But thank God she didn't stop. Because if she stopped, I would have been a drunkard by now. Thank God she didn't stop. Because if she stopped, I would have been a womanizer by now. This apostle preaching today is not preaching because he's wise. He's preaching because I became a burnt offering on the altar. Thank God she didn't stop. Today, she has gone to be with the Lord. But even my father will thank God that I'm who I am today. Because he doesn't have to think about anything. Before he thinks about it, I provide it. Thank God she didn't stop. Most of you who don't have the capacity to sacrifice relationship, you are selling the future of your children. Pray and fast until that door opens to serve. I'm telling you, I have many mentors, but none of them did half the work my mom did. There was a season of my life, I began to club. Every Friday, we were dancing in the club, drinking Star Lager beer. When you put 5 bottles down, then you become a man. I would have ended up in the gutter somewhere as a drunk. What business do I have on the altar talking to the nations? Except as that woman refused that she must serve God. She prayed, she fasted, she worshipped. Even her did not know that she was ransoming my future. Because you cannot pray other people's children to the kingdom and your own is useless. You cannot win souls to the kingdom and your own is useless. So while she was laboring, she was not just laboring to serve God, she was securing my destiny. I cannot tell you how many times I've escaped death. Sometimes I escape death and the Holy Ghost will remind me that today was covered 14 years ago. In the days of prayer and fasting, she secured our destiny. These ones can't die. They must fulfill purpose. Did you not read about Samuel? Before Samuel became wise, the mother already consecrated her as a prophet. There was a transaction she carried out with Eli before he was born. He had no choice but to be a prophet. Not because he desired it, but his destiny was concluded on the altar before he came. So today, a potential drunkard is an apostle. I came by prayer. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I will go in prayer. I came by prayer. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world, I came by prayer. A few times I was discouraged. I wanted to go back into the world. See, God will just orchestrate strange things. On one of those days, I was going to board a bus in the commercial park. I sat with a pastor, and the pastor began to talk to me. I wept in that journey. That was a season where I made up my mind to go to the world. See, but there was too much prayer. There was too much prophecy. So if God needs to rout a stranger to bring me back, that stranger will appear. And if there's no stranger, even an angel can become a man to make sure that you will not fail. We are not here because we are strong. We are here by the powers of covenant. We are here by the powers of priesthood that mothers that knew God. That's why the Bible spoke of holy women. They receive even their dead back to life. That's the power of the womb. Holy women, even there, the dead, they can bring them back to life. Because they can cry with God there for 10 years and they will not go back. These are the things that your service procure for you. Securing the destiny of generations after you. When I see children that are wayward, I know there was a deficiency in the priesthood of their mothers. When I leave this world, how we go? I came by prayer. I will stay in prayer. When I leave this world,
I will go in prayer.
Thank you, Father. Please sit down for a moment. Time. Is there a timer? I'm not seeing any counter. Please hear me. Serve God. Pay the price. It's not too much. What God will do. Imagine if my mom said, I don't want to have problem with my husband, so I will stop. Today, she would have been unfulfilled in heaven. She would have been weeping in heaven. Because when she looks down on earth, all her children would have been wayward. None of her daughters married out of wedlock. They are all in their husband's houses now. And me, who is the only boy on earth, I'm preaching the gospel like fire. Imagine if she said, oh, I don't want my husband to be offended. She prayed her way through. And she was not even a Pentecostal who understood tongues. Sometimes she will carry her rosary. And she will pray 15 decades of her rosary. But crying and weeping, God was responding to her faith. And then you are a tongue talker. But you cannot serve and activate your priesthood. Even my father that tried to resist her, he is lucky his attack didn't work. Because if it worked, by now, all of us would have been in trouble. All of us. Now I'm getting him a visa to go and spend some time in London. To just go and do checkup and relax in London. Because the woman he wanted to stop was praying. Don't let anybody stop you from serving God. The benefits are enormous. You know what Jesus said? Matthew 19:27-29. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? See what the apostles did. They left everything. And in case they didn't know the meaning of all, Jesus reiterated it. Hear what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, he first of all gave them eternal reward. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in his throne of glory, you also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You become a prince in Zion. Every soul I win today, my mom has a portion. Because I'm preaching because of her. That's what makes men eternally relevant. And Jesus now went further to say, and everyone that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, fathers, mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. So you will be blessed in this life and in the life that is to come. There are prices we pay. Anybody you find serving God is not cheap. That's why not many are doing it. If it is easy, many will do it. There are prices we pay. Foundation number 3. Final foundation. Who is the church worker? I will have to add some speed now. Before we talk about successful service, who is a church worker? Who is a servant? Number 1 is a believer in the vision and in the visioneer. If you don't believe in the vision and the visioneer, you can't serve in the vision. Exodus 14:31. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. They didn't just believe the Lord, they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. I'm telling you, if you want to be effective worker and a worker who is blessed, you must believe the vision and believe the visioneer. Number 2, a worker is a servant of God and a servant of the vision. Luke 1:1-3. For as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things that are most surely believed among us, even as we received it from they that are eyewitnesses, it has pleased me to write unto you in order those things that are most surely believed, even us who are servants of the world. So he called himself a servant of the message, a servant of the gospel, a servant of the vision. If you are not a servant of God, and if you don't see yourself as a servant of the vision, you can never serve effectively. Number 3, who is a church worker? It's a defender of the vision. So you don't just believe it, you defend it by propagating it and by correcting wrong notions about the vision. Because we are in a terrible world. Somebody can stand up with a vision to win souls. People can gang up and say it's trying to loot money from people. Because their heart is corrupt. They think everybody is like them. You must be able to clarify things that no, it's for soul winning. This is what happens. This is what happens. This is what happens. You should be able to defend the vision. If you can't defend it, why are you there? Why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your resources? Why are you wasting your energy? So you should be willing to stand up for the vision. Jude 3:4. Everything they believed and did, they defended it. It said, and they Jude chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. It's just one chapter. Jude chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. Not Judges, Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, all, to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith. Verse 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained for condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So there are those who abuse the vision. There are those who antagonize the vision. As a worker in the vision, you should be able to defend what the vision stands for. That's a church worker. So a church worker believes in the vision and the visionaire. Is a servant of God and the vision. And is a defender of the vision. Number 4. A church worker is a sponsor of the vision. In Luke chapter 8 verse 3. The Bible spoke of certain women that walked with Jesus. And he said, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They gave their resources for the vision to move. They were serving under Jesus, and they were giving resources. I already spoke to you of the church in Macedonia. The workers that labored with Paul. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 3, they gave resources. They gave themselves first, then they gave resources that the vision will thrive. It was from their resources that Paul was sending things to Rome. That's a worker. But in our generation, the reverse is the case. Workers want to loot the house of God. Number 5. A church worker is a keeper of the covenants, consecrations, and value systems of the vision. If you are not a keeper of the covenants, the consecrations, and the value system of the vision, you are not part of the workforce. Every vision have covenants. Every vision have consecrations. Today, you say, let's do 14 days fast. Workers are hiding and eating. They are now wondering why the grace is not manifesting. That's why even associate pastors, you send them, they are struggling. If the vision is working at the headquarters, why won't it work in Kuboma? Why won't it work in Yola? Is it not the grace powering it here that is there? There is a deficiency. The consecrations are not kept. The covenants are not kept. The value systems are not kept. If you keep the covenants, keep the consecration, keep the value system, the same grace powering it at the source will power it everywhere. When Jesus sent out the 70, all of them return with the same report. Luke 10, 1 to 19. They said, the devils were subject to us in thy name. If you are in alignment with the vision, there is no way you will not manifest the grace. There's no way. So if the grace is not speaking, there's something wrong with the consecration. I know there are specific and peculiar cases where certain territories have very unique warfare that require some level of skill and corporate priesthood. But generically speaking, if it is working in one place, it should work every other place. Because it's not human strength that is doing it. It's the grace of God that is powering it. But that grace has a covenant. It has a consecration. And he has value system. If the woman of God emphasizes prayer, you must pray. If she emphasizes fasting, you must fast. If she emphasizes modesty, you must be modest. She cannot be dressing decently, and you are dressing like a superstar, and you are expecting to generate the same result. The value systems must be the same. If she emphasizes charity, kindness, mercy, you must make it a lifestyle. So that which is on the head can flow to the beard, even to the skirt. That means no location is a disadvantage. It's the same oil that is flowing. But it takes covenant. It takes consecration. And it takes value systems. That's who a church worker is. Foundation number 5. Why must I be a worker? Number one is a channel of worship. Worship is not just a song. Singing is the lowest level of worship. The first time worship, the word worship was used in the Bible is Genesis 22 verse 5. Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. He said, I'm going up to worship. We think worship is singing with a good voice. That is beautiful. But the thing is deeper. Because service will touch your heart probably more than the song you are singing. You can't serve and not feel it. Romans 1:9, Paul said, I thank my God that I serve with my spirit. So the service has entered worship. I serve with my spirit. Day and night with my spirit. That's why we serve. It gives us a robust room for worship. So everybody who serves, his worship, his or her worship has gone beyond singing. And so even your service will be a testimony in heaven. That's why the Bible spoke of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 verse 1 to 4. It says his prayer and almsgiving ascended to heaven as a memorial. That's worship. Number two, why do we serve? It's a channel of reward. People who don't serve will be saved, but they won't have reward. There are two different things. You are saved because of the works of Jesus, but you are rewarded because of your own work by grace. So there are many people who will go to heaven without reward. For example, the Bible says, he that winneth soul is wise, and he shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Daniel 12 verse 3. So brightness and shining in heaven has a condition, is to win souls. So we will not all shine the same in heaven. The level of glory we carry is directly proportional to the degree to which we bring men to the kingdom. That's what service does. It gives you reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5, the Bible says, judge nothing before its time until the Lord, who both shall bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart. He said, then every man shall have praise of him. So there is a time when what we did will be studied, will be x-rayed, and will be judged, and we will receive the reward based on what we have done. He said in 1 Corinthians, I think 5 verse 10, he said, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, then everyone shall receive reward for his service. Verify that scripture for me. So we serve because service transcends time. It has eternal implication. Number three, why do we serve? It prepares you for higher authority and higher honor and assignment. If you don't serve, you can't be promoted in the kingdom. Luke 16, 10 to 12. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. It says, he that is unjust in that which is least is unjust in that which is a must, which is much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? It says, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So service is the basis for promotion in the kingdom. So when you see people today big, there is somewhere they've served. You can never become great in this kingdom without service. Nobody begins to climb a tree from the top. You start from down and you go up. So when you are serving, be mindful. Your promotion is tied to it. Who you want to be tomorrow is tied to what you do today. That's why service becomes very important. And not just your promotion in time, even your eternal reward is tied to it. Who you will become in heaven. Why do we serve? It's an induction into corporate expression of the family of God. Service gives us the opportunity to become one family. That's why we gather together, laboring as one people. Psalm 133 verse 1 to 3. Behold how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron through his beard down to his skirt. It's like the dew upon Mount Zion. There the Lord commands his blessing. He makes us become one. Wherever two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. Matthew 18:20. So it gives us the opportunity to be one family. And that's why Hebrews 10:25 said, despise not the gathering of the saints together. Participate in it. Serve there. It makes you part of God's family. Why do we serve? Number five, it is a trust God has committed to us. The Bible says Jesus did not commit himself to any man, for he knows what is in man. So when Jesus commits anything to you, you must know that it's a trust. So guard it jealously. 1 Timothy 1:12. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for he has counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." It's a trust. It's a trust. Why do we serve? Number 6, it's a calling. 2 Corinthians 4:1. "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and we have received mercy of the Lord, we faint not." It's a ministry, it's a calling. If you find yourself always predisposed to serving where children are, it's not just a desire, it's a calling. You find yourself predisposed to seeing that there's excellence in the house of God, and so you are laboring, it's a calling. You find yourself predisposed to helping the poor, and anything that has to do with it, it's a calling. So see it as sacred. It's not just what you know how to do. It's a calling. That's why there's a grace invested there. This is why we serve. Because eternally, there's relevance. Because it's a calling. If you know all of this, then you are ready to be an effective servant that will present an acceptable service before God. My time is up. When next I come, I will speak about acceptable worship or acceptable service. Have you been blessed? From your heart, give me the grace to serve you with the right heart. All of these things I've said will be useless if your heart is wrong. Give me the grace. Can I tell you something? There are 3 categories of people that God rejects. With all the grace of God, with all the mercy of God, there are 3 categories of people he rejects. Number 1 are people with an evil heart. He said concerning Judas, he said, "All that you have given to me I have kept, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." People with evil heart are people that Satan enters their heart. He said Satan entered the heart of Judas. Jesus didn't pray for him. He said, "What you must do, do quickly." When Satan entered the heart of Ananias, Peter didn't pray for him. He said, "Why have you allowed Satan enter your heart?" He fell down and died. If your heart is evil, God will reject you. Number 2, people that God rejects are proud people. He said God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. So a man who is proud cannot see grace. The 3rd people God rejects are those who blaspheme. That's the sin he said cannot be forgiven. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? They talk down on the work of God. And they also call the work of God the work of the devil. It's blasphemy. When you despise the work of God, reproach the work of God, or you misrepresent the work of God, you are at risk of rejection. That is why all of these things I've taught this morning will be useless if your heart is not right. Except your heart is right, it will be useless. Can you lift your hand and ask God for grace and a perfect heart? King Uzziah, the Bible said, he served the Lord in all his ways right, but with an evil heart. God rejected it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
receive this grace this morning. And I tell you why. In the New Testament, every church member is a worker. It said in 2 Corinthians 5:19, it said God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he gave them the word of reconciliation. You are saved to save others. So don't say, I don't belong to a department. If you are born again, you are a worker. If you are not working, it's because you don't have the revelation. That's why all of us here must receive the grace this morning. And number two, when God releases grace in the New Testament, he reaches everybody. He says, ask of him rain in the time of the latter rain. He will cause bright cloud upon every blade of grass. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, everyone received. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning I decree and declare, as a priest of God, standing in partnership with your servant, the apostle, over this commission, and I decree over them, everyone this morning with a willing heart to serve, let the grace for acceptable service rest upon them now. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace now. I decree and declare the heart for service. Let the capacity be imparted upon you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. For every one of you receiving this grace this morning, and for every one of you making up your heart, not just to serve, but to serve doggedly, passionately, and with the whole of your heart, by the power of the principle of restitution and of blessing, I decree and declare, every reward allotted for your service, receive it now and in eternity, in the name of Jesus. From today, the Lord will begin to show you signs that your service is not a waste. From today, the Lord will begin to show you signs that your services are accepted. And on account of that, I decree, step into higher realms of authority. Step into higher realms of wisdom. Step into higher realms of empowerment. Step into higher realms of grace. In the name of Jesus. The Lord keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Lift up his countenance over you and give you peace. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. And because of what you have chosen to do in the house of God, even your children will be a joy of many generations. So let it be written. So let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big hand and lift your hands and honor him. Lift your hands and honor him. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. You are holy.
And forever you are God.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
You are holy.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.EncounterJesusMinistriesInternational.org. God bless you.